The date is the 19th of December, 1967, and this is an interview with Mrs. Initials?
M. Abelson.
M. Abelson. A-B-E-L-S-O-N. Right. Now, let me tell you something that you might know already. I shall be writing a biography of General Brooks. Oh, starting, I imagine, about this time next year. It'll be a year before I can get going on it. And the last chapter of that biography is going to deal with his life as lieutenant governor. And to some extent, I suppose you could say that this would be called Life in Government House. Mm-hmm. So that I have received a fair amount of information from him respecting his office. I shall be getting more information, I hope, from Mrs. Perks regarding the house, the social functions, preparing for them, some of the funny things that have happened, some of the tragic things that have happened. But His Honor suggested that I should see you and one other, Mrs.
Cooling?
Oh gosh, I forget her name right now. But in any event, they thought that you would also be able to provide me with information, background information, shall we say.
Mm.
Now, first of all, how long have you been here?
I've been here a year and 8 months.
And your position, are you a civil servant?
I'm employed by the,
BC
provincial government, yes.
I see. Well, now, it's hard to know where to begin. How would you describe your position?
Well, I am not a housekeeper, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm house supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
A housekeeper would imply that you have complete control of all the domestic staff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have this. I'm here primarily to see to the upkeep and maintenance of the house. And to the cleaning and the care of the contents, and if any repairs are needed, and the cleaning of drapes, and everything to do with the maintenance and care of the contents of the house and the inside of the house itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plumbing repairs and all this kind of thing, I report.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. This all comes under my control, but some of the domestic staff don't come under my control as far as their actual work is concerned, only if I see that something was not being cared for properly. Then I would, if I did it correctly, I would go to the controller and tell him, and he would speak to the staff, so that I'm not actually a housekeeper. And of course, Mrs. Perks really does her own housekeeping as far as menus and all that kind of thing is concerned. She does this herself. So that I am really a house supervisor.
What about your duties when certain special functions occur? Now, during the year, of course, there's a great variety of them. We're in the middle of a number of them right now.
Yes, well now, during Centennial Year, we had a great many royal visitors and very important people. Now, my role on occasions like this is to see that the suites are ready. We have a girl, of course, who prepares them and puts all the linen towels in and everything, but it's my duty to see that they are ready in every detail, to put flowers in them. I do all the flower arrangements. And then when the actual party arrives, His Honour and Madam like me to be in the hall, just in the background, and when the introductions are being made, they usually bring them over and introduce them to me, and then I would take care of any staff that they have with them, ladies, maids, and valet, or anyone like that, and I take them up to their room and up to the suite, and see that they've got facilities for pressing and anything that they may want to make our guests more comfortable. this I have to attend to, and ranges from anything just to lending a gentleman a nail file because he didn't have one,
mm-hmm.
to sending shirts out to be laundered and getting them back within a few hours before the parties depart. And this all comes under my responsibility.
Do you, before they come, do you ever get a little sheet of instructions about what to do, but rather what they like and don't like?
Well, no, not really. We haven't. This would come to the controller, I think, mm-hmm. If there was any particular thing, if for some religious reason they wouldn't eat certain foods, this wouldn't have anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, from the valet or the lady's maid, I find out what they'll have for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I write this down and give it to the parlour maid and the chef.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the... Actually, I don't have anything to do with them until they arrive in the house. If, for instance, if they want a hairdresser, the mm-hmm. ladies want a hairdresser, well, the controller takes care of this.
Mm-hmm.
Not until they actually arrive in the house, and then it's my job to see that they are thoroughly comfortable in all the small ways.
Mm-hmm.
And this could mean anything at all.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, are there any humorous incidents that you can think of?
Well, there was an extremely humorous incident with Princess Alexandra. I don't know whether you want to put it in your book, but it really was...
I may have to cut it, but...
yes, well, it really was funny because we were having a very peculiar problem with the toilet in the royal suite, in the ladies' bathroom of the uh-huh. royal suite. It was whistling quite loudly, and the longer it whistled, the louder it got, until it was just like a siren. And they couldn't find out for quite a while. The plumbers worked on it, and then they discovered that it was the hot water. We have hot and cold water mm-hmm. in the cisterns to keep from condensation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they discovered that it was the hot water valve was squeaking when it opened to fill the tank, you see.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So they thought they had righted it, and we had Haile Selassie in the royal suite, and there was no untoward incident, so we felt quite safe. And I did say, just in a joke, when it was whistling, I said, well, we can't have it whistling every time the princess goes to the bathroom. So that was fine. Haile Selassie had the royal suite and nothing happened, so we felt quite safe. And the first morning after Princess Alexandra arrived, Stella, the second floor maid, came down to me and she said, Mrs. Abelson, the princess is complaining that her toilet is making a noise. And I said, what sort of a noise? Or she said a gurgling noise or something. And I said, well, for goodness sake, you can't stop the gurgling of the water running in. I said, this is a little beyond. So I forgot about the whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning, her maid came down to me and she said, the toilet is making quite a lot of noise. It disturbed Mr. Ogilvy last night. So I said, could I go up and see? And she said, yes, certainly. So I went into the bathroom and Princess Alexandra was just about to take a bath. And we had quite a get-together over this. And she said, well, it started to whistle in the night. But she said, you see, I was quite up to it. She said, I propped the float up with a glass, and she put a glass under the float so that it wouldn't fill,
yes,
you
yes,
see.
Yes, 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 yes.
And she said, don't worry about it, because I can easily fill it with this enamel jug. And she was here busily with an enamel jug, and she was going to fill the tank with the enamel jug out of the tank.
Oh, my word. Oh,
I said, no, I don't think that'll be. Well, she said, it's disturbing my husband, and he doesn't like to be wakened up. So anyhow, I got the plumbers up and we turned the hot water off for the time being. But it just did whistle. And uh-huh. I spoke to the night watchman about it afterwards and he said, yes, she said, you know, I said, for goodness sake, if you hear any noise in there tonight and you hear them talking, knock on the door and go in and turn the whole thing off. And he said, well, you know, I did hear a bit of a whistle last night and I didn't know what it was. That was one of the very funny things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was. She took it so well. She was mm-hmm. so practical about the mm-hmm. whole thing. And another quite humorous incident that happened with His Honour, which you can appreciate this. They're not mm-hmm. people that ever sort of get in a panic about anything. And when the conservatory was first built, we were having just a dinner party, and Madam was very keen that the guests should go out and they'd sort of have a little official opening of the conservatory. Mm-hmm. So we saw that it was all cleaned and everything, and I was doing a round of the ground floor to see that all the lights were on and everything just before the guests arrived, and I went out to the conservatory, and here's His Honour in his tails, busily with a squeegee mopping up water, and Madam standing there in her long dinner gown holding it up so it wouldn't get wet. And the gardener had been in and watered all the plants after I had checked it, and the water had run out of the tubs onto the floor. So I said, "Oh, Your Honour, let me do that." And he said, "Well, you see, if you just squeeze it onto the plants, it'll be all right." And I said, "Yes, I'm sure I can cope." And the guests were coming in the front door at this, by this time, so he went out and left me with the squeegee. And I mopped it all up, and by this time the guests were in the drawing room, so I thought, "Well, I can't go through there with the squeegee." So I went outside and right around this way and in through the flower room door and put the squeegee in. And then I came back out this way, and Madam was standing receiving at the just inside the drawing room door, and she went like this, and I went like this. Everything was right.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, lovely. But I mean, it's that sort of house. Mm. Mm. You know, I mean, a lot of women would have been, "Oh, you know," but no.
Flat.
And His Honour just went and got the squeegee instead of ringing for someone to come and... and they never do, you know, they never ring a bell. I don't think I've ever known His Honour and Madam to press a bell for the staff to come. They either ring up or they will come down and ask. They're most considerate.
I know this seems to be the case very, very frequently with His Honour popping down, for example, to see Gar Dixon.
Yes.
Rather than him ringing for...
Yes, yes. Only once... have I known Madam to press a bell, and that was for one of the girls to come take the tea tray out. But they don't ring bells, and of course in this instance most people would have rung a bell and said, "Oh, well, Mrs. Abelson, you know, there's been something happened in the conservatory." Yeah. But I would never have known if I hadn't, but I always do this when we're expecting company. I do about a quarter of an hour or so before the company's due, I do a round of the ground floor to see that everything is in order. And it's surprising the number of little things that you might
that I can well imagine.
Pick up, you know.
Incidentally, what about Haile Selassie's dog? How'd you make out with him?
Well, we didn't make out too badly, but that was a very, very funny thing too, because he was the first of the centennial visitors, and I had never done a royal visit before. You know, it was the first royal visitor, and Mr. Duckett was a new controller, and he had. So we were very keen that everything should be very well done, you know, and particularly as it was a man who didn't speak a lot of English and may not quite understand their customs. So, if I remember rightly, His Honour went to meet him at the airport, and Madam was standing at the top of the stairs there in the hall to greet him when he came in. And, of course, Binky was there with her, and Mr. Duckett and I were standing at in the background, all very correct. And the police opened the door as soon as the car arrived. But instead of Haile Selassie being the first to enter, this little dog raced in. As soon as the car door was opened, the dog raced in and saw Binky and sort of growled around for a little while and then attacked Binky. And the dog was only about half the size of Binky. Well, Madam grabbed Binky up, you know. And by this time Haile Selassie was inside, and instead of the formal greetings, there was explanations and things going on about the dog. Yes, all their formal.
Good.
And Madam said, "I'm afraid Binky will have to go down to McDonald's." And so poor Binky had to be banished out of the house while the little dog was here. But he wasn't too much trouble. He did... did leave his visiting card around a few places. But here again, there was rather a funny incident. Haile Selassie went to the Union Club for a luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank took his honour and Haile Selassie. So he came back, and this is the sheriff, you see, he came back, and a few minutes after, a staff car came up, and the driver came in, and he said, "I've come back for the dog." And I said, "Well, the dog's not here." And he said, "No, it's in the car. It didn't get out when Haile Selassie got out." So I went along to Frank and I said, he said, "The dog's in the car, but I can't get him. He won't come out for me," this staff driver said. So Frank said, "Oh, I'll just wait till I put these books in and I'll go and get him out for you." So he put the books in Commander Dixon's office and went back out to the car, and by this time the car appeared to be empty and the staff car was gone. So Frank said, "Oh, he must have got the dog out." And so he didn't worry anymore, and then he went out to put his honour's car away, and here was the dog in the back seat. Apparently it had crawled right underneath when the other man tried to get it out. And Frank hadn't seen it when he went out, you see, so he had to tear down to the Union Club with the dog, because if the dog had been lost, it really would have been an awful thing.
Oy.
But and they were just panic-stricken down to the Union Club, wondering when the staff driver arrived back without the dog, and it was quite a thing. But he slept quietly, and we didn't have too many problems, but... Madam did say, "Well, I wish when people visit, they leave their dogs."
That I can well appreciate.
But it was I came in at a very interesting time, of course, being here for Centennial Year.
Aside from Princess Alexandra, you wouldn't be here, for example, when Prince Philip was here, or
no? The Queen Mother had been here just before I came. She was here in March of 1966, I think, and I came at the end of April of 1966.
Oh, I see.
We had Queen Juliana, and I was here for the Russian delegation that came. We had them just here for lunch, and there was a delegation came over. I think that was late 66. I was here for that. But I haven't been here for the Queen or Prince
Philip. Do you ever get a situation in Government House where anybody attempts to gate crash?
Well, we did have a reception here one night when there seemed to be a couple who had gate crashed. No one could account for them. But apart from that, there haven't been any gate crashes for formal occasions. But we do have to keep the front door locked all the time. Because if that front door is left unlocked for 5 minutes, we'll have people in the house. Soon after I came here, there was a piece in the paper about two Americans that had walked right through and looked through the ground floor rooms, and then went to the paper and said they were amazed that the security in Government House was so poor. But I didn't know anything about it. The parlour maid had apparently met them down near the servery wandering through, and she asked them, did they want to see someone? And they said no, they were just looking through. And she escorted them out, of course, and she hadn't mentioned this to me. So Mr. Budd rang me up. Mr. Budd is the Superintendent of Public Works, and he is my senior. And he rang me up the next morning early, and he said, "What's this we see in the paper about people walking through Government House?" And I didn't know anything about it because the girl hadn't mentioned it. But it appeared that these people found the door unlocked and just walked through, and they said they were amazed that people could walk through the house with silver bowls and silver cigarette boxes and things lying around on tables. But
what a wonderful place Canada is, eh?
Yes, how trusting.
Yeah.
But the thing is that occasionally someone will go out and forget to snib the door. And as sure as it's left open for 5 minutes, there'll be people in. It's most amazing. One morning someone went out, and it was only 9 o'clock, and someone went out and left that door unlocked. Certainly it was in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I met two people down here going round to His Honour's office, and I took them back, and as I was escorting them out, one of the maids was escorting another couple out. And not together, different parties.
I suppose I think it's a public building.
Well, this is it. A lot of people don't understand just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They'll ring the bell quite often and say, what time is the house open for inspection?
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people will ask, do they live here? Does His Honour and Madam live here all the time? Does the Lieutenant Governor live here all the time? You know, they seem to have it confused with some sort of the Parliament buildings or...
Mm-hmm.
One man rang up very late at night from New York about 1 o'clock in the morning, and he said, could he speak to the Sergeant-at-Arms? And I said, the Sergeant-at-Arms isn't here. And he said, well, is the Minister for Highways there? And I said, oh, you've got the wrong place. I said, this is Government House. I said, it's not the Parliament House. And he said, well, who's there? And I said, this is the Lieutenant Governor, General Perks, lives here. Oh, he said, him, I know him, I'll speak to him. I said, oh, I'm sorry, no, not at this hour of the morning, he's not available. I think he was a little bright. And he said, well, I'm ringing from New York, I want to speak to someone.
I'll be darned. But of course, 1 o'clock, that would be about... That'd be yes, early morning.
Yes,
time.
Over there.
Yeah, but even that would be about
I think he was
five.
Just on his way home.
Oh, good heavens.
Yes.
Good heavens.
Yes. But it's not all fun. I mean, it's quite a lot of responsibility.
Oh, yes, that I can imagine.
And keeping the place locked is one of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very careful. There's no ground floor windows left unlocked. And this is my responsibility.
Is it?
Yes.
I imagine that when Princess Alexandra and other people, Haile Selassie, etc., were here, you'd have people in the grounds.
Well, we had security. We had the mounted police on duty, both at the gates and at the door. And then we had them patrolling the grounds. But for Princess Alexandra, we didn't have anyone inside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've had anyone inside, actually, for any of them.
Mm-hmm.
When Prince Rainier and Princess Grace were coming, it was planned to have a private man inside, but that was because of the children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we've had, when Princess Alexandra was here, we had a commissionaire on the second floor the night we had the ball for her, so that no one would... go up there onto the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
His Honour dislikes having things roped off and that kind of thing. He dislikes this very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had a commissionaire up at the top of the main staircase so that he would notice anyone that was drifted up that way and would send them back. And both His Honour and Madam are very... very keen for people to see the house too, you know.
Yes, this I've gathered.
Yes, unless it's a whole horde of young people who are likely to have disastrous effects on the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to rope anything on.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you wouldn't be able to compare this, would you, with the previous Lieutenant Governor Ross?
Not at all, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think it's a completely different... Well, His Honour said to me one day, we were joking, he was very busy, of course, through the year, and I said to him, you should you form a union with the other Lieutenant Governors and so that you won't be worked such long hours. And he said, yes, and I said, well, perhaps the other Lieutenant Governors don't work as hard as you do. Well, he said, of course, most of them have a business of their own to take care of as well as... you know, the being Lieutenant Governor, whereas he said, I am able to give all my time to this because I don't have any other business to. Mr. Ross, of course, was a businessman and he had to keep up his business connections, and Mr. Wallace was a businessman, where His Honour devotes all his time to the office of Lieutenant Governor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think perhaps this is why they have been such a success.
I think so.
And he said that he thinks this is really the best way.
Yeah. It's a full-time job.
It's a full-time yeah. job. If you're going to yeah. bring Government House to the people, which they have done.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about, well, not necessarily precautions, but... well, I suppose they are precautions in some way. I was thinking very soon, if you haven't had it already, you would have the orphans down.
Yes.
Well, now, this must be... this must be quite a swarm of little gremlins floating about, or are there enough adults handy too?
Well, they have several adults with them, of course, mm-hmm. and they're very well behaved. They come in the front door, of course,
mm-hmm.
and they go down to the cloakroom and take mm-hmm. their coats off. And then they come back up into the ballroom and they have a picture show. And then they're taken downstairs and have their party downstairs in the lower lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back up and Father Christmas arrives. But they're all sort of kept together. And no, we don't have any problem with them. We did have a lot of Boy Scouts here
mm-hmm.
at one time. And they were looking through the house. And this was rather funny because we didn't have the west staircase roped off.
Mm-hmm.
And they were escaping up there. They were coming up from the lower ground floor along the west staircase instead of the main staircase. And they were going right up, and I found them on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really kept busy, sort of, sending them yeah. back and telling them, no, you don't go past the main floor.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, people are very, very good. Mm-hmm. If, for instance, we only hook, if we do rope the rooms off, it's only a velvet rope hooked on a hook, mm-hmm. which anyone could undo.
Mm-hmm.
But no one ever does.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are very nice. Some people are a little inconsiderate.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are a little inconsiderate with cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
They'll walk around, and you know how a hot ash dropped on a woolen yeah. carpet can smoulder.
Yeah.
And they, funnily enough, it's more often women that will do this than men.
Is that right?
Yeah. Most men don't smoke when they're inspecting the house, but some mm-hmm. women. But taking them by and large, well, as you can see, this house has had a lot of people, and in yeah. the 7 years His Honour has been here. And... considering the amount of traffic that's been in and out, the carpets are in quite good order, yeah. you know. There's mm-hmm. an odd scorch here and there, but nothing mm-hmm. very much to speak of.
Yeah. I understand that the, what should we call them, just to use a very general term, the employees, the total number, have one, if not two, Christmas bashes or parties at about this time.
You mean the staff themselves?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, actually, we the domestic staff here,
mm-hmm.
all of whom are employed by His Honour, except myself and the houseman,
mm-hmm.
They have a staff dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's their staff
party. I see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They are they invite one guest each, and mm-hmm. they have a really formal dinner.
Do they really?
Oh, yes. They have a menu, and they have... we didn't have menus this year, but we do have a menu, and they have the girls who come in to wait on the tables when mm-hmm. we have dinner parties. They have them come in, and they have a barman come in to serve the drinks.
Oh,
you know, sherry before dinner. Mm-hmm. And they have a completely formal dinner.
That's with Mr. and Mrs. Bird.
No, they come down and have a drink with them beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is very considerate of them. Usually the staff dinner is arranged for a night when His Honour and Madam will be out,
mm-hmm.
so that the staff don't have any evening duties at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a staff driver, an army man or someone to come and drive them,
yeah.
so that the chauffeur is free.
Yeah.
And... they come down and have a drink and then mm-hmm. they go off. And
I see.
I think this is perhaps more relaxing for the staff. They mm-hmm. they feel more relaxed mm-hmm. than if his alma mater were actually at the dinner, and I think they realised this. I don't think that they wouldn't want to be at the dinner, but I think they feel that it's freer if they're not there.
Is this the one that the gardeners come to also?
No, we have a separate...
separate one for
that. Separate afternoon. That's a sort of afternoon. They come in about 3 o'clock and they serve drinks and sandwiches and that sort of thing. Last about an hour or so. And each gardener and each foreman of public works, the foreman and the electrician and the foreman carpenter, they all receive a turkey his honour for Christmas. And the chauffeur and the housemaid. Not the girls living in, of course, but anyone that's closely connected with the house and lives out, they receive a turkey for a Christmas present. This great trolley of turkeys.
Oh, my. It must be. It really must be tremendous.
Yes, it's a lot of turkeys. And then this year, last year, and I understand this is usual, the public works foreman and the gardeners have their party together. But this year, I think because it's his honour's last Christmas possibly, they're having the public works foreman and their wives to a sort of a buffet type of thing in the ballroom. The gardeners' party's held down in the lower lounge. And then there's the orphans' party. And then they also have a reception for the AIDS and their children.
Yes. And the ADCs.
Yes. The children go downstairs and have pop and cake and all sorts of things. And the AIDS and their wives have a reception up here. And then the children come back out and they all get presents.
Presents put
under the tree.
Very nice.
They all get presents. Yeah. It's really a really sort of family affair, you know. And the ADCs are all very nice, and most of them family men, you know, not awfully old. And it's really a very nice gathering.
Oh, good.
This is the thing about the house here with General Perks and Mrs. Perks, and people have remarked about this. People that we have had come, you know, the guests, that they always feel such a warm, homely atmosphere. I wouldn't say there was no formality, but there's no formality, no more formality than is absolutely necessary for the proper running of the place. And I think people do appreciate this.
Yeah.
In fact, they've said so.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to get some sort of a comparison. With others, of course. I couldn't put this in the book, even if I did But it would be from all what you say more or less reinforces my own feelings and opinions.
Well,
and all
I think no one could really stand be awfully formal with Mrs. Perks. You know, she's I wouldn't say she was a down to earth person, but she's such a natural person. She's quite incapable of putting on any sort of an act for anyone, you know.
And she has a very good sense of humour.
Oh, she's got a very keen sense of humour. Yeah. Yes, very keen. Yeah. And it sort of gets her into a little trouble sometimes. there was the classic time when she was at the police board, you know, and Jane Mansfield had been over here holding the mock court or something on the Sunday, and there was quite a fuss about it, you know. So Madam was at the police ball over in Vancouver a matter of a week afterwards or something, and a dead ball it was, and it was standing near the chief of police, and she said, "Is it true that what I hear that James Mansfield's going to lead the parade?"
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Yeah.
Would you call this the busiest time of your year?
This? Oh, no. Because the Christmas parties have an informal sort of feeling about them. Actually, it's a very nice time of the year because...
hold it just for a minute.
Here again, there's a routine for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is sent out. Myself and the superintendent of the grounds and the foreman of the superintendent of public works, Mr. Budd, we all get a memo of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not our job, we get a memo of what somebody else is doing. And the Christmas trees are brought in on a certain day,
mm-hmm.
and they're taken down the grounds, and the painters come up and spray them for fire precautions. And then we know which day they're coming in, and the gardeners come in and they put the trees up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now this year the gardeners came in the first thing in the morning and they put the trees up on Monday of this week. And after coffee, the electricians came up and they string the lights over them.
Oh, yes.
And then when that's finished, then we clear up the any bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. And then the girls decorate them.
Mm-hmm.
They put the decorations on. But the gardeners put all the greenery around. They come in and put all the greenery around and put the different pot plants in and all that sort of thing. And then I do the flowers, and the girls decorate the tree. So it's a routine, and it's so well organised that there's never really any rush.
Mm-hmm.
You do have time to do it the day before. It's a question of organisation, I suppose, but it does seem to run very smoothly.
Speaking of the girls, during the 2 years that I've been coming, I've been met at the door by a succession of girls. There seemed to be something of a turnover.
Well, I don't think you would have found such a... There hasn't been a great turnover since I came here. Either the parlourmaid has been here ever since I've been here. That's the little white-haired one.
Mm-hmm.
We've had one change in there. There was Margaret, a tall Scottish girl, and she left, and then we got this little dark Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
Stella has been here with Madam for 5 years. That's the second floor maid, but you wouldn't see her very much.
No, that's true.
The girls in the housemaid on the main floor, she changes. I've had several changes, but this has been because of circumstances. When I came here, there was a French girl from Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a teacher, actually, and she had come to British Columbia to learn English.
Oh, I see.
Well, she came on the understanding that she would only stay a few months
mm-hmm.
until her English was good enough to go to a school,
mm-hmm.
which she did. And then we had one woman who was too delicate for the position. And then we had an English woman who had intended staying, but she got worried about the daughter and went back to England. And then we got a Scots girl,
mm-hmm.
and so that took us to the time when His Honour thought he would be going out of office, you see.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And of course, when he goes out of office, all the domestic staff are given notice because he employs them, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if there's another Lieutenant Governor already appointed, I would imagine that he would come and interview them and probably mm-hmm. re-engage them.
Mm-hmm.
But before it was announced that His Honour would be staying on, the girls naturally thought that they may be in rather a peculiar position, you see, because there hadn't been a new man named. So this lass got the opportunity to go to Vancouver, and she went.
And
it was only a matter of days after that, after she had promised to go over there, that it was announced that His Honour would be staying on. So that it was sort of peculiar circumstances that... I think the staff are very happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should be.
Do you ever get them coming here to get experience so that they can apply for the next job, saying that...
That they've worked at Government
mm-hmm,
House.
And with good recommendations.
Well, strangely enough, I I don't think, since I've been here, I don't think we've had anyone that's consciously done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that perhaps they haven't realised that this is quite an asset. I know that Ella, the little Scots girl who went to Vancouver, I spoke to her employer, or would-be employer, and she was most impressed that she had worked at Government House. And I would think that it is quite a recommendation mm-hmm. for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you get complaints from staff. They're like soldiers. If they're not complaining, there's something mm-hmm. wrong. And at first glance, they're a little inclined to say, well, the money's not very much.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as I point out to them, they have very nice accommodation. They all have very large rooms on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
They get wall-to-wall carpeted. They have a bathroom between two girls. They mm-hmm. only share a bathroom with one girl. They have a private washroom each. They have all their laundry done, and their uniforms are provided and laundered. And they don't even have to buy their own Kleenex. Everything's provided.
Mm-hmm.
They get excellent food and all cooked, and even their dishes washed for them.
Does the cook for the entire staff?
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I see.
And 7 days a week, the girls have their meals cooked and put out in the heat, and they just serve themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no restrictions at all. I sometimes point out to them. I mean, you get some places where the mistress will issue so much tea and so much butter and all this sort of thing. There's just oodles of milk. The girls can go to the fridge at any time mm-hmm. and have a glass of milk. They can make a cup of tea at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's as good as home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mrs. Perks would never dream of going onto the third floor where the staff lives unless a girl was sick or unless she had some particular reason to go up and look in one of the store cupboards or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely private up there.
I see.
So I feel that with the accommodation and the things they get, it's worth $60 or $70 a month anyhow.
Easily. Try to.
So compare that with a girl working in a shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had no fares to pay. You see, they had mm-hmm. no clothes to provide for, to work in. And also, most of the girls here, we have two young ones now, but quite frequently women that take a position like this are older women who wouldn't find it easy to get mm-hmm. employment outside anyhow. So I feel that any girl that comes here, and I'm not sort of anti-labour or anything, but mm. I think if you take into consideration the surroundings, and I mean, how could they afford an apartment in surroundings like this?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
But I don't. That's since true. I've been here, there has been no girl left because she was discontented. It's been circumstances
yeah.
that, other than the working conditions, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, that has caused us. And I would say, generally speaking, it's a fairly happy staff.
Mm-hmm.
When you get domestic staff together, all different sorts of personalities yeah. and that.
Am I right in thinking that part of them are employed by the BC government and part employed by His Honour?
That's right, yes. I'm employed by the BC government, and the houseman at present is employed by the BC government.
Mm-hmm.
But up till the time of His Honour, the housekeeper was the only one in the house that was employed by the BC government.
Mm-hmm.
The Lieutenant Governor provided the rest of the staff, and just off the record, the houseman was one of the extras they...
Mm-hmm. Yes, I knew that certain arrangements had been made when
yes.
General Perks came, because yes. he just didn't have the...
No, he
money.
In fact, I believe he was reluctant to take it on for that reason, and they were
yeah.
so keen to have him.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, the policy is for the house keeper or house supervisor to be the only one in the house that's employed by the government. And this is, I think, primary. And of course, while you do the housekeeper's or house supervisor's position is to take care of the house, when I was engaged, they stressed that first and foremost is to do everything possible to make the chaplain's life pleasant and easy, you know, whatever you can do to keep the thing running smoothly. And of course, what she wants is of prime importance, you know. You have to be as careful as you can of the various things. And I think some people have the feeling because the government's paying for it that you can make all sorts of demands. But I personally have never asked for anything that Madam didn't ask for, because I feel that if the things suit her, well, this is it. I mean, you've got to be a little objective about it, even though I have become very fond of the house, and I sort of feel it's my house.
Certainly would.
Not as far as the guests or the social side of things concerned, but as far as care of the house, well, I am quite jealous of it.
I can well imagine.
Yes.
Well, what about the term that comes to mind is a quartermaster. I don't mean that exactly, but who would be responsible for the things in the house? Not the care and cleaning of them, as you are, but the possession of them, shall we say.
I'm responsible if the thing's missing.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm fully responsible for any of the crystal is broken, they have to put it aside for me to see. And I check it, and if it's passed, we have our crystal ground. If it's only a small chip out of it, we have all waterford crystal. And if there's only a small chip out of it, we have it ground down, you see.
I see.
And I decide whether it's worth sending to be ground or whether it's got to be written off as broken. And if it's broken, I put it down in the inventory book so that when the next inventory is taken, we can have some idea of what's been broken. And if there's anything missing, I have to follow it up and see exactly where it's gone and what's happened. And if anything goes out of the house for repair, I have a book that they sign, and they take it out, and then when they return it, I sign it back in again. Yes, I'm responsible for the contents of the house.
You mentioned laundry. Do you have a laundry here in the basement or anything of that nature?
In the grounds, down near the greenhouse.
Oh, I see.
There's a laundry.
And that'd be the sheets and pillowcases and uniforms and all that sort
everything.
Of thing.
Everything goes except Madam's personal things, and of course the staff do their personal washing, but all the other laundry goes, fine linen and everything, and she's a very wonderful woman. She does a most beautiful job. And when I first came here, I used to count everything out because I'd been matron of college, and I used to send the laundry out, and of course you had to count every sort of thing. But I still do count it, but this isn't because I'm afraid of missing anything. But when you get a lot of people in and you're using a lot of linen, you've got to know just what you've got in, and it's absolutely amazing the amount of linen you can go through in 2 or 3 days if you've got people in the house, you know. Bath towels, big bath towels twice a day and all this sort of thing, you know. We have the most beautiful linen rooms. We have 3 linen rooms.
Good heavens. Good heavens. Well, of course, what would be 2 sheets and a pillowcase for every person?
2 pillowcases and 2 pillow covers. Princess Alexandra had her bed changed every day. We don't do this with everyone. With royalty we do. And bath towels, of course, they're just... And we had Princess Alexandra came on the Thursday and went on the Sunday, and Queen Juliana came on the Monday and left on the Tuesday, I think. But our linen rooms were really getting very bare.